Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
A glass, pour yourself one out, get a beer, toast to Oakland baseball, because it is likely over. Welcome to the Ricky Henderson Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts, GUAP. I'm your host, Alex Espinoza, with my co-host, Dr. Hot Dog Hal Gordon.
Not Doc.
And so as we're recording this, it's about 6:30 on Wednesday night. Less than an hour ago, the Nevada Senate in assembly passed Senate Bill SB1, basically approving the A's proposed ballpark in Las Vegas. And all that remains now is Governor Joe Lombardo's signature and the approval of MLB's owners, which seems like a formality. So that's pretty much it for Oakland baseball. It comes against the backdrop of last night's epic reverse boycott. So many emotions going on right now. How you doing, Hal?
Alex, I feel like, man, I feel emotionally tired, man. I think it's not a shock. There's just, this guy's going to be a fucking asshole. He's going to be a fucking asshole. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just so proud of all the fans who came out last night, and we're just so loud, and just watching the highlights and cuts that people have posted on Twitter and stuff, it made me really proud to be part of that fan base. And I think we did literally as much as we could do, I know that there's, epic things that other fan bases have done to try and save or get back a team and stuff. But I think, if you were going to, I remember watching when the original like 30 for 30s came out.
Yeah.
One of the, I remember those, a lot of those documentaries were so good. Especially just that first round, man. And one of them was about the Baltimore Colts marching band.
Mm-hmm.
And about how the Baltimore Colts had this marching band, which was, in many ways their fan ultras. Mm-hmm. It seems like people would just learn how to play instruments just so they could be in the band. And they kept marching every year, and all the parades after the Colts left, and sort of about their journey and their attempt to try and get football back to Baltimore. And I think last night's reverse boycott was right up there, right up there with that kind of just epic nature of fans coming together and trying to save their community, or at least, establishing and planting a flag in their community. So, to everyone listening who came or who, were there in spirit, because I know a lot of people were there in spirit as well. Thank you. You did great. You did amazing. Last night will be a night that I, remember for the rest of my life, for a lot of reasons. Yeah. I'm so glad we didn't pick next week to do the reverse boycott or something,
Dude. Yeah.
So, to the people of Las Vegas who are definitely not listening, good luck with these fuckers, man. you know.
Yeah, the whole thing stinks, man. The whole way it went down just stinks, dude. Like, you know, like they introduced the bill on May 26th, and here we are on June 14th, and they passed it. They didn't have proper time to vet it. You know, it seemed like that first round of questioning was kind of maybe just grandstanding. They could be like, oh, we're going to push back. But then they both passed pretty comfortably, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny when you think about, like, how big of posturing they're doing, you know, and they're like, we really want these community benefits like written in stone. They're like, not $1.5 million, $2 million a year. It's like,
whoa,
dude, you're going to be able to buy, they have to have like a formal agreement to host clinics. Okay, man.
And like, we'll promote cool, a nonprofit of the game. Yeah.
I mean,
they have a community suite.
It makes me fucking sick to just think, you know, that these legislators are just, you know, begging the A's for these crumbs while the A's are just, you know, just taking all the money they can out of their pockets. But whatever. You know, it's not my business anymore. You know what I'm going to do on Saturday and Sunday? I think, well, I, you know, I'm not sure yet, but I think I'll probably go to the Roots game, you know?
Yeah.
Probably go to the Soul game. So
I have to turn this into an Oakland Roots podcast, dude.
They already got some Oakland Roots podcasts.
Yeah,
so.
I know, dude. They already got some.
So we'd have to, I think we'd have to really brush up. I don't know. That's a good point, Alex. You know, I don't even know what the future of this podcast is.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this might be, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm going to be out of commission for a couple of weeks. So this, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not going to feel compelled to be like, oh, how's Ryan Noda doing? You know?
No, I couldn't care less. I couldn't care. No, no disrespect to Ryan Noda.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't really give a fuck.
I was thinking the same thing too. It's like, I might not go to a game until the final game of the year, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I do want to go maybe again, just to like check out all the screws and nuts and bolts on the seats. So that way, so I make sure that I bring the right instruments on, for the 81st game. But
I don't care.
I'm just so freaking proud of everybody who showed up last night. It was awesome.
Let's talk about last night. Let's keep it. Let's keep it a little pop. I mean, let's just celebrate that. I mean, we can't do anything.
I mean, everybody saw it, right? Like, this is what I was telling people. I was like, you know, it's going to be a playoff atmosphere. It's going to be a playoff atmosphere. And I want everybody, you know, who's watching it, who doesn't know what's going on in Oakland, to hear us and, like, you know, just feel that empathy. And, you know, there'll be some questions of Rob Manfred, and there's going to be, you know, the whatever. But I did, you know, jerks, you know, it just feels, I just feel somehow it's bad, but it was really funny that the A's donated all the ticket money.
I was going to say, like, they donated $811,000. So it's like, three games worth of gate is what they're proposing for Nevada. I mean, or not even like a gate, two and a half games worth of ticket gate. And
the prices of tickets are going to be way more expensive in Las Vegas than they are even in the Coliseum right now. So it's less than that. But, you know, the shirts were great. You know, people really enjoyed that. I think the shirts were awesome because that was the way to sort of sell it to some people about why it's going to be such a cool thing. You know, you could talk about the fan funded giveaway. Another thing that I had sort of worked that had, that I, that I, you know, I, the shirts I just helped a little bit with fundraising, but the thing that sort of I had really wanted to were those cheer cards or those posters that sort of gave the game plan of what we should chant at each different time.
Yeah, there was solidarity. Like my dad was at the game last night, and you know, he wasn't privy to everything that was going on. He's like, "Whoa, that was so cool. Yeah. I was so organized." And yeah, yeah. He was really struck by the fifth inning thing. That was your idea, right? The fifth inning.
That was my idea. You know,
the silent protest, the first batter.
I've seen some of that stuff like in European soccer, right? They'll pick a number that is meaningful to them, to the fans, and they'll, you know, so like, you know, if the club was founded in, you know, 1908 or something, for the eighth minute, they'll, you know, stand up and turn their backs, or they'll all whistle as loud as possible. They whistle, you know, yeah. So they'll do those kind of stuff. Or they won't enter until the eighth minute, or they'll all leave it, you know, they'll all leave at the 71st minute or something like that. So that's sort of where that idea came from. And, you know, originally when I wrote out the card, I was like, let's have a different chant for each inning, you know, and it was like, no, this is too much. And as I started to sit down and try and think of nine different things to do for each inning, I was like, well, actually there's only like, you know, I just want, you know, there's really only one message, two messages, you know,
stay in Oakland, sell the team.
Stay and sell, you know, so. So we cut back on that, but that was sort of the only thing that I like left in was I was like, let's still do that moment of silence. And,
you picked the fifth inning because of 55 years of Oakland baseball, right? It was like the first batter of the fifth inning, everybody silent. Yeah, yeah, and, then, yeah. and then everybody yeah, just exactly. went nuts. Yeah. It was,
and well, it was really
dude,
funny.
That gave me good, dude. That was so, that was probably my favorite moment. Like I can't describe it, dude. It was so crazy when it was quiet in there, dude.
Looking back, the videos don't even. So the video, if you just take like listen to the moment of silence on the videos, it doesn't seem as cool as it was in person because there's, you know, there's people murmuring or whatever. But you know, you've never been, I've never like really been in that large of a crowd, you know, with that much silence when it's not something announced, you know, when it's not like everyone stand and hold up, you know, have a moment of silence. You know, I think what was cool about it was a lot of people didn't know it was going to happen, but they immediately understood what was happening. And for the people who knew that that was the plan, I don't think everyone knew like, okay, are we actually going to do this?
Yeah, there's only
like,
6,000 so, cheer cards for 27,000 people.
I think I think a lot of people saw it on Twitter, but like, you know, they didn't have it written down or whatever, right? And so, you know, only so many people sort of had seen it or knew about it. But what was really funny was I was sitting behind one of my old hot dog regulars, Jerry. And Jerry, the first like or about inning 2 to 4, he would turn around and look at my wife and I and go, when's the time we're all supposed to stand up yeah. and do yeah. something? You know, what are we supposed to do? Oh, we're supposed, instead of being loud, we're supposed to be quiet. When is that? Is that now? You got to remind me. You got to remind yeah. me. You've given me a chore, you yeah. know. And, and my wife and her friend looked at it and they were like, come on, you came up with this? And you know, I was like, I was feeling kind of like embarrassed. I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I, you know,
were you kind of worried like, oh, it might not play?
Oh, absolutely. I'd like almost forgotten about it. I'd almost forgotten about it because I was just having a good time being loud, right? Like, everybody's so loud. And I was like, wait, hold on, we're supposed to be quiet at some point. And I was like, oh, like, you know, this is gonna be like such a flop, and people are gonna be like, well, I guess that didn't work. But so I wasn't even like one of the first people to stand up. I just like saw other people starting to stand up and, you know, people go, and it was so, because you could just like, you know, you, it was, I like, you know, I was like, there was, I was just feeling tears in my eyes, like, and I like also like anger, you know, it's just like felt like the seething anger of like, you've made us so angry. We're going to stand here and we're just going to fucking stand here, you know, like I'm not mad. I'm disappointed, you know? And then as soon as that guy in the Rays got the double,
sell the team.
I don't think I've ever yelled anything louder,
dude. It was, just,
and I mean, it's like, you know,
it's really hard to describe how cool that moment was, dude.
it was, ooh, and I'm glad that it came through on TV. You know, I'm disappointed. I know they had to do it. The A's broadcast. Who is the the play-by-play guy now,
Vince Catronio.
Was it Catronio?
Yeah. He last night he was on the call. You mean like the cotton candy thing?
It was Catronio. Yeah.
You're talking about the cotton candy story that he told about his daughter.
Yeah. Or? And I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. Shut up. No. Just shut up. You know, like, oh, here's a funny story. Like, no.
I mean, he didn't know. He didn't know what was going on, though. You know, he didn't. Yeah.
Maybe. You know, he. I should give him the benefit of the doubt in that, like, he has headphones on and he's focusing on the game. But, like, you know, I know they're just trying. They're protecting their jobs. They're protecting their jobs. Fine. Whatever. But I was, you know, I shouldn't be negative because it was so positive.
Yeah.
You know, so let me drop that. Forget I even said that. But. You know, it did really come through on the TV, not because it didn't seem like it was that quiet on the TV and even a video that I took when I was rewatching it until you heard the volume of when everyone got loud. And I've watched that clip that John Boy clipped and put on Twitter. I've watched it 10 times. That I love this one time they're you know, because they're trying to find like pick, you know, fans that don't have signs up. So they're just like, you know, but they still are shown fans. And there's this one fan with a giant foam cowboy hat who's just going, he's like swinging his arms like a wild man. Like, you know, like he's like, and it just, so loud. And, you know, it's like this epic, you know, that epic thing where like, you know, when Marshawn Lynch scored that touchdown in the playoffs for the Seahawks, and they're like, it caused an earthquake.
An earthquake. It registered on the Richter scale.
the pitchcom.
Yeah, he couldn't even hear.
He couldn't hear the pitchcom. Like, we broke pitchcom, man.
His phone was funny. He was like, dude, it was on volume 20 and I still couldn't hear it. And then he thought it was broken, but it's like, no, it was just so loud.
Did he say that?
He was like, dude, it was on volume 20. I still couldn't hear it. So yeah.
I mean, seeing Langelier's face. I mean,
yeah. Langelier's was smiling when he walked to the mound. He knew what was going on. Yeah.
Yeah. I truly don't think, you know, I've been saying this too, or thinking it at least. That, you know, we may only get 10,000 people for the reverse boycott, but we'll be so loud that it won't matter. And, you know, we end up getting 28,000.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't, it's, I can't think of another time that I've been at a baseball game. You know what? So, you know, I've been to playoff games, you know, and, you know, there is a lot of noise sometimes, people just yelling, but holy moly, that was so cool, coordinated. It was so cool.
Even like the first pitch, like basically right when the first pitch started, like the whole stadium was chanting "Sell the team," and like some of the clips that came out, it's just like amazing, you know, like just the show of solidarity between all those people is like, I can't remember seeing something like that, you know.
It was extremely bittersweet too, you know, because I was so happy and proud that about everything that A's fans accomplished, and everything the Oakland 68s and the Last Dive Bar, Stu, and, you know, just so many other people who just organized and got together and wanted to help and do awesome stuff. It was so, I was so proud.
It was just a nonstop party yesterday. I mean, it started in the tailgate. The tailgate was super, it was great. Like, it was so much fun. And then the game, and even after the game, like the 68s were just drumming in the concourse and stuff like that after the game. Like, they didn't, like, nobody left afterwards. I mean, I know it got kind of ugly when people started tossing trash onto the field, but like, I mean,
dude, I've been at Cubs, when I used to vent Cubs games, whenever people in the bleachers didn't like a strike call, they'd throw shit on the field. So, you know, like, you know, I don't know, man, maybe the culture is different. That was,
well, I think it was,
that was like, you know, 15 years ago or 18 years ago, but come on, man. Like,
I think people were worried that the big story that today would be that, oh, A's fans trashed the field after reverse boycott. But I don't think that.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, it was, it got picked up by everybody. I was talking to my, my coworker in Dallas, and he said their radio station was talking about it. And like, I know it was like the MLB's, the Athletics MLB newsletter was that, Sports Center ran a feature on it. Like the A's made, like the A's fans did like literally everything they could do. And like, they made their voice heard, but it's just like, they just ran out of time. And, I mean, it's just the whole timing.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's run out of time, man. You know, we just have this situation in this country with sports where if a billionaire wants to do this, there's like nothing anyone can do about it.
Yeah.
And this like this hocus pocus, quote unquote, you know, economic modeling, you know, industry that comes up with all these bullshit numbers about how it's a genius, you know, economic move to steal people's teams, you know.
I bet Jeremy Aguero got a big bonus today. You know, he basically was the champion of this project and made it happen. You know, and
I bet Jeremy Aguero made more money today or yesterday than the Oakland Food Bank or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's
wherever
it's,
they donated the money from. But like, you know,
and I just feel like, you know, they just ran with his numbers, which I don't.
I'm
not an economist, but it just doesn't add up to me.
The things that they were pushing back on were just the absolute wrong things. That if you were trying to make amendments, you should have been like, we're not going to, you know, owe you refurbishments in the next 30 years. You know, if you want to refurbish this place, it's on you. You know, so they also bought into that, right? The first class stadium
Well, that's what's happened with the Milwaukee Brewers, right? Like,
exactly. They just bought themselves a Milwaukee Brewers situation, you know, and they negotiated really hard for an extra $500,000 a year. Like, congratulations.
Yeah, dude. I mean, let me see, because I don't know how old Miller Park is, but let's see here.
It's not that old. So I remember going to Brewers games at County Stadium. So.
Yeah, it's only 22 years old. And
it's not that old.
Yeah, Manfred was there recently to kind of campaign that, hey, Wisconsin, you guys need to pony up this place.
I haven't been to Miller Park in about 10 years, but I mean, I don't like, you know, I shouldn't maybe say this on an Oakland A's podcast, but I really like stadiums that are in the city. I don't like stadiums that are like in a giant parking lot. So the one real knock I have against Miller Park is that it's in a parking lot, you know, away from anything. But other than that, like, Miller Park is such a nice place to see a ball game. It's not old, man. Again, I haven't been there for like 10 years, but like,
yeah, 22 I mean, years. I mean, that's like,
how old is Oracle Park?
Same year as Oracle
how
Park.
Old, yeah. How old yeah. is a, it's the same age as Oracle Park. Yeah,
pretty
right?
much. Like, I think Oracle opened in 2000 or 2001. So
yeah, you know, get out of here, man. Anyway, they're just crooks. They're crooks, and there's not much more to say about it. One thing I do want to say is, like, on a personal note, like, so many people came up to me yesterday and gave me, you know, gave me a hug or asked for a selfie, and had really kind words to say about me, and that, you know, it really meant the world to me to hear that. So, you know, that's the part for me too, personally, that's bittersweet. It's just like, is knowing that, you know, is it's been so much fun, and like, you know, I don't think, you know, I mean, I did not ever expect to be somebody, who people, like, everybody knew at a ballpark, you know, or among ball, you know, baseball fans.
And it's, how long it's did you been there for? How many years? Like, what? When did you start?
I started the first Oakland A's game I've ended was opening day 2016, man. So, like, I haven't even been there for very long.
Yeah. Five or six. Well, I guess the pandemic kind of screwed things up, but like five, six seasons.
Yeah. Something like that. But I mean, it's been so fun and cool to, be part of, y'all's community. And, it's just,
dude, it's, well, great. Thank you for everything you did, man. I mean, it's like you were a big part of this too, you know, like you were.
Yeah. But man,
I don't know, man. Like, yeah,
shit will go on though. You know, I think I'm maybe not as, I'm not as sad as I was when they first announced it. Cause I think I've gone through a lot of the grieving stages already.
Yeah. It's been a few weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had so much fun last night. It was so awesome. We did such a great job. It was so cool. But like also, you know, Oakland community is still going to be around. We're going to be around with the Roots, and you know, I think that they're going to get, you know, it'd be awesome if they get a WNBA team. And you know, never say never. Never say never about a baseball expansion, because
that would be weird. I can't even imagine like rooting for the Las Vegas Timberwolves, ever. Or excuse me, the Oakland Timberwolves or whatever. Like, you know, it would be weird.
But you know, I've ended a bunch in Baltimore, and I used to vend, almost every Ravens game. And, you know, the only thing that sort of reminds you that they all used to be Colts fans is the statue of Johnny Unitas, out front, and the fact that when the Colts play, they, the public address announcer only refers to them as Indianapolis. Like they like refuse to say the word Colts, you know, and that's it, man, because they all are fucking Ravens fans. And you know, there's like, you'll see like once in a while you'll see somebody wearing like a throwback Johnny Unitas jersey, but like that's like one out of every 1,000 fans or something, you know. So it's
So what do you are you even gonna pay attention to the team the rest of the year? Like, I don't even know where to go from here, you know. It's like, I mean, pretty much my entire life, for 6 months out of the year, I've been following this thing, you know. And it's like, I don't know what to do. I actually don't know. I don't know, man. It's like, I know it's like inconsequential. It's just a sports team, whatever.
It's
whatever.
Not.
But for me, it is, like, you know, I really care about this thing and I really loved it. I still love it. I mean, you know, it just reminds me of my family. It reminds me of my friends. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. I'm still processing this. I know it's been, like, even on April 19th, I didn't know what to do, but now I'm still processing it. And I don't know, man.
I'll encourage you to look forward to late March 2025 when the Oakland Roots and Oakland Soul open a new stadium at the Coliseum site. You know, it'll be a temporary stadium, but there'll be like 10,000 seats. I think it'll be 10,000 seats is what they're aiming for. Mm-hmm. That, you know, a big 10,000 seat stadium will be rocking.
I just love baseball, dude. I fucking love baseball. Yeah. And it's not even that I love, I just love the A's, dude. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. It's like it just ripped, like something major would just rip from me, you know? And I don't.
What sucks about it is it like turns something you love into something you hate, you know? I'm just like looking.
Well, I still love the A's. You know, I just hate John Fisher, you know?
Yeah. Are you going to keep watching the A's in Las Vegas when they move to Las Vegas?
Probably not. I mean, definitely not like this. I mean, I might in passing, just especially the first year, I'm probably just going to be curious to see, you know, what it's like or whatever. But I mean, that's 2028. That's 5 years from now. For all I know, I'll be living in a different country.
I don't want to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to watch. I wouldn't want to watch them because, you know, they'll have huge crowds like any new team and new stadium. So,
yeah.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest? I think that's pretty much it, but I don't know.
No, man, I just want to one more time thank everybody who came out last night or who was there, you know, in spirit. I know a lot of people couldn't make
it. You said you had people coming. You met people from literally like all over the world, right? Like who came?
Yeah, there's somebody from Australia. There was like Denver, New York.
Yeah, I saw a guy from North Carolina.
Vancouver. Yeah. Yeah, dude, I mean.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Stu Clary for that idea. I mean, on April 10th, when he sent out that tweet initially, nobody had any idea this would be going down. As far as we knew, Vegas wasn't even, I mean, it was a possibility, but that was like 9 days later when they announced the deal. I mean, just the timing of it was crazy. It was crazy how that was like the funeral for Oakland baseball, you know, like that was the eulogy.
I got to tell you, Stu, you're real good guessing dates.
And the Oakland 68s too, man. They're incredible at organizing. Shout out to Jorge and Anson and Cass and everybody over there.
Those guys, the 68s are, they're just so cool, man.
Like there's no bullshit.
You know,
like
the last dive bar are like, those guys are like the school president. You know, like everybody, the popular kids, but like the fucking 68s, they're the guys who sit in the back of the bus smoking cigarettes and fucking way too cool for everyone else. And it has been such a joy to like get to know both of those crowds, man.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, just shout out to A's fans, dude. Like, there's no group like A's fans, dude. Like, the creativity here is unmatched. You know, the walking, talking bobblehead that Rob made yesterday. Like, dude, I saw so many funny signs. I couldn't even take photos of. Like, it was just like a sea of amazing signs yesterday. You know.
Yeah, dude, and just like seeing how much fun. Like, I wanted to sit behind home plate because I like wanted to. You know, say hi to a lot of people that I knew, and I wanted to like kind of help coordinate cheers in that area because you know the 68s don't need my help at all ever. But just like seeing them from across the stadium, they're having the fucking time of their lives. Beautiful. It was just such a beautiful night, I'll remember that, you know, as that's just gonna be one of my my favorite memories, I think.
Yeah, I think for me, ultimately, I'm going to look back at that as the favorite, my favorite A's game I ever went to in my life, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think game 162 in 2012 was amazing too, but there's literally nothing that can top the emotion of last night.
Somebody introduced me to their nephew, like 7-year-old nephew, in the parking lot before the game, and he was really shy. And the guy was like, oh, you know, it's like, I was trying to tell my nephew about like why it's so great being an A's fan, you know, like, or, you know, what do you, why is it so great to be an A's fan? Or like, what should you tell the, you know, like what, you do have anything to tell this kid? And, you know, I said some things that I've said a bunch on the pod about all the fans and about, you know, how special it is and stuff. But I just said, you know what? Hey, in 10 years or 15 years, you're going to tell people I was at the reverse boycott game, you know, and you're either going to tell it as a story, you know, about like, man, I was at this game, it was wild, or you're going to, you know, or you're going to like meet somebody who also was at this game. So like, remember it. It'll be such a cool memory. So, you know,
yeah. Yep. All right. Well, thanks, Hal. We're going to have to take the next couple of weeks off. I'm going to be out of commission. But yeah, we'll see what the future of the podcast is like. Honestly, I don't know. For all I know, this could be the last episode. I know we have a contract with Belief, but I mean, what are they going to do?
I think they're going to understand. And I also don't think we're pulling down numbers that they're going to really care about.
I don't
even
think they would honestly notice if we just stopped. But hey, I'm still waiting for that first revenue check.
If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe and turn the notification bell on. You know, even though this may be our final episode, please subscribe. Okay. Please subscribe. Just be nice about it. Subscribe. I see you watching it without subscribing. Okay.
All right. Well,
Hal, oh my God. All right. Well, Alex, thank you so much for letting me on your podcast. Good luck with your
dude, you
health
changed
procedure.
The pod. You made it so much better. It's been so much fun to pod with you, dude. And
yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
You made it so much better, dude. The podcast so much better with you on it. Thanks for everything you did for the A's community over the past few years, man. Like, you really are a special person for the Coliseum, and you'll go down as a Coliseum legend, man. Especially with everything you've done in the past year or in the past few months while you've not been there, like an employee. Like, it's been really
yeah. You know, I've been, like, you know, you, like a lot of times people say like, oh, I really really miss you vending, and I'm like, yeah, I do too. But I also don't think I could have gotten nearly involved with this shit.
Yeah.
Had I been vending there. So I probably would have ended up quitting anyway. So, yeah. So whatever. Whatever, man. Anyway, love you guys. Love you, Alex. Good luck with your health procedure. I'm sure we'll check in again on the podcast, but it might not be for a while.
So. All right, Hal. Well, thanks, man. That was great pod. Thank you very much. That was great to see you last night, man.
Yeah. RIP Oakland A's.
Yeah, RIP to Oakland baseball.
Yep.